Father, we come together this morning at this time once again in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray now, Lord, as we come together to open it, to study it, I pray, God, you might encourage your people today in the word as we read it and study it together today. Dear God, we need your help daily. Lord, we're so glad as the song we sung this morning in the chorus. We know that you're in the midst of our life. We studied last week how you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And God, we just pray, God, you would help us to be aware of that all the time. And Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. For the testimony, the light in this world, the soul of the earth. Lord, that others may see Christ in us. People need the Lord today. And Lord, your people, Lord, need to carry forth the word of God that people may hear it and understand and receive Christ as Savior. Bless now your people today. Thank you, everyone this year. Help each one of us, Lord, to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse number 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Paul is writing here, you know, to the church at Galatia. He's writing to us Christians. Don't be weary in well-doing. Weary. We see here, the character of a Christian is more than just not doing wrong and doing right. The character of a Christian has things in our lives, such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness. All these things are equal in our life also. And so we have the character, to express our love towards God and towards one another as a believer. So the life of a Christian is more than just not doing this and doing this, as so many people think it is. But we should exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ in our life and the love that he's given to us. But he said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. I know sometimes we all have a pity party, and we all think I'm the only one that's trying to do what's right. You know, reading my Bible, praying, going out visiting, knocking on doors, talking to people about the Lord no matter where I go. But listen, you're not, I'm not. But I do know sometimes we all get weary, don't we? We all get weary. You knock on the door and somebody slams the door in your face. You knock on the door and somebody tells you to leave and cusses you out or whatever, you know, and you keep going, keep going, keep going. After a while, you get weary. You get weary in trying to do what's good and trying to do what God has commanded us to do, being a witness to people. We get weary. And we see this is something that we all face in our life. The story is told of the devil. The devil himself was selling his tools. Now, we know the devil's got a lot of tools, right? A lot of things he uses to try to keep God's people from doing what they ought to do. He had a show of his tools out, and people were coming by and looking at them, looking around over the goods, and they noticed one of the items that had the highest price tag on it was very unimpressive to look at, but yet it has the highest price tag on it. And that tool was an old battered wedge. And on that wedge, there was a sticker with one single word. And that word was discouragement. Discouragement. Someone asked the devil, why is this unimpressive item carry so much of a high price tag? Why is it such a high price tool as far as you're concerned? And the devil replied, if I can drive the wedge of discouragement between a believer and his Lord, I'll win the battle. I'll win the battle. See, Satan knows our minds. He knows how to get us. He knows how to discourage us. And this is one thing, this is the one tool that Satan uses against God's people, probably more than anything else, to discourage you and to discourage me. Not to read my Bible, not to pray, not to come to church, not to witness, or whatever we are to be doing for Christ. Satan will find a way to enter into our minds and to discourage us. He'll discourage us. I dare say most of us Most of us are not witnessing the way we used to witness. We're not visiting the way we used to visit. We're not doing a lot of things the way and the amount that we used to do. And probably it's because Satan has discouraged you. And he has discouraged me. He slipped in this tool, so to speak, to do that. And to challenge us, well, if you do this, you don't know what you're going to face. Somebody may do something to you. You know, you may get hurt, you may get shot. Whatever Satan can enter into your mind, that's what he'll do to discourage us. And God help us as his people today to be even as this 92-year-old lady. We're going to go anyway. And when we go anyway, whatever we face out there in this world, we're going to pray that God's going to give us the grace to know what to say and how to handle the situation that we're in. And young, and adults, he will do that. He will do that. Have you ever known anybody going on visitation to get hurt, get killed? I never have. Never have. But this is a tool that Satan uses to discourage us not to go and not to do what we ought to be doing. See, he's clever. He's very clever. So we're going to look today and the next week on this thing of one of life's challenges is discouragement. Being discouraged. Being discouraged in our life. We notice as a fact, first of all, every one of us share discouragement at one time or another in our life. You may be discouraged today. You may have been this past week. You may face this coming week. However, our approach to managing this discouragement will distinguish us from others, just like this 92-year-old lady. Don't you think she was discouraged when she sat down in that car and saw that guy with a gun aiming at her? No doubt she was probably scared to death. But she managed her discouragement by God's help. See, to overcome that and be a witness to this young man, and no doubt probably saving her life and maybe saving his life, because he might have got saved later on. We don't know what happened to him. But we need to learn to manage our discouragement. We see discouragement starts when we feel a sense of hopelessness. Hopelessness about anything in life. About a job, about a children, about family, about anything. Whatever hopelessness causes discouragement in our lives. We also see when it seems like our circumstances we're going through never improve. Never improve. You know, so we go and try to get things to get better, and nothing gets better, seems like. Therefore, we get discouraged. We get discouraged, you see, because we are human. We're human beings, aren't we? We're all made this way, and we get discouraged. Now, what are some signs of discouragement? Some signs that people are discouraged. Number one is sleeplessness. People can't sleep when they're discouraged. Why is that? Their mind and their soul is full of anxiety. That's why. The mind and their soul are full of anxiety, problems. Therefore, people can't sleep because they're discouraged about something in their life. It may be more than one thing. It may be many things in their life, but they are discouraged. They're discouraged. We also see there's restlessness is a sign of discouragement. Can't rest. Can't rest. Weary in all things. You know, go. Weary about everything. Can't rest. Can't rest at all. There's also complacency. Complacency is a sign of discouragement. Complacency is simply to lose interest. Lose interest. Lose interest in our family. Lose interest in church. Lose interest in witnessing. Lose interest in reading my Bible. Just simply losing interest in life itself. It's a sign of discouragement. Discouraged people lose interest in things. Lose interest in things in their life. And also see, another sign is negative thoughts. Always thinking negatively. That's a sign of discouraged people, of discouragement in somebody's lives. Now, I know we all go through these things at different times. We all face them. because it's something in life that we have to go through. It's one of life's challenge that we have to endure by the Lord's help. Now, what causes discouragement? There are many things that cause discouragement. One thing is fatigue. Fatigue. That's mental exhaustion. Mental exhaustion. You know, most of you have worked your life. Some of you are retired. And you can agree with this. Which is the worst, mental exhaustion or physical exhaustion? Most of you would say mental. Mental. It'll get you down faster than physical exhaustion. You can recover faster from being physically tired than you can mentally tired. But fatigue is a cause of discouragement. Fatigue. Another cause of discouragement is frustration. Frustration. I can't accomplish this. I'm finding out in my life, the older I get, tonight, the longer it takes me to do what I used to do faster. Are you that way? I mean, I used to cut my grass in about an hour and a half. Now it takes me 2 hours with Alfred. I don't know what the difference is, but I just slow it down, I reckon. But frustration will cause discouragement sometimes in our life. You know, you want to do something so fast, but yet you don't have the strength. You don't do it as fast as you used to do it. So frustration, again, is another cause of discouragement. Failure, lacking sufficiency, failure, not being able to do something sometimes, you know, will cause discouragement in your life and my life. We also see another cause of discouragement is fear. Fear. And again, that can be anxiety or it can be literally agitation. Agitation. Fear. Heard a person say not too long ago, up in the 60s, or the late 60s, I don't travel much now by myself, he said. I don't travel much at all at night. The reason I don't is because I don't know what's going to happen on the road. You know, I can have a flat tire, I can have anything, and therefore, you know, I don't want to risk myself being out there. Fear. Fear would cause discouragement in our life. You know, it's a natural thing. We have to adapt to it. We have to adjust to it sometimes in our life. All these things that cause discouragement. Fatigue, frustration, failure, and also fear. Why now does discouragement plague so many people? Well, we know discouragement throughout the Bible has been from Genesis right on up to today. Go back and read about the children of Israel, how they were so discouraged so many times in their life. This is not a new subject. This is not a new topic, so to speak. It's always been and always will be in our lives as children of God, as people. And so we see, because Satan has learned to attack our mind. He's learned to attack our minds. And when he does, his goal is to make people discouraged. Listen, if he can discourage you, if he can discourage me, he can stop God's will for our life. Did you know that? He can stop God's will for our life. And that's his goal. That's his goal, to stop you. To stop you. So when I heard years ago, there's one word that you need to cut out of the dictionary. What's that word? Tell me. Quit. Quit. Don't never use the word quit. Take it out of the dictionary. See, because Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to stop. He wants you to be so discouraged that you won't do anything for God. That's his goal. See, if he can discourage God's people, why, you know, chances are somebody might not get saved. That God wants you or me to lead to Christ. You see. He's not concerned about those he already has, those already lost. They're just running their course, so to speak, in life. He let them do what they want to do. But when it comes to God's people, he's trying to discourage us. He's trying to discourage us. He's getting our mind. He's attacking our mind. However, I'm so glad to know that Jesus has stepped on the scene. He stepped in our lives as born-again children of God, And he's trying to emphasize to us and help us to recognize things that often lead to discouragement. I'm glad we're not alone, folks. We're not alone. Even though we are discouraged at times, Jesus always encourages us. He always does. I can get along with the Lord, read my Bible, I can sing courses, I can sing songs, whatever comes on my heart, and God encourages me. He encourages me. No matter how down low I get, I can always rely on the Lord to help me. And you can too, brothers and sisters. God's always with you. He's going to help you. He's going to encourage you. Satan's want to discourage you, but God is going to encourage you. Jesus recognized things that often lead to discouragement, such as coveting. That's a great desire to have more, have more, have more, have more. Some people today are so discouraged because they want more in life than they got. They don't have the job they want. They don't make the money they make. They don't live in the house they want to live in. They don't drive the car they want to drive. All these things of the world will make you discouraged because you're always going to want more. Has anybody in here ever got enough? You're honest. You know what? You will never get enough because you can't satisfy this flesh, but only temporarily. You know. And therefore we see the devil's going to use this thing of coveting or having a desire to want more, no matter what it is. Therefore, because you can't get more, you don't have more, he's going to discourage you. He's going to discourage you. But I'm glad today to know that Jesus, he knows all about this in our lives. Envy. He knows an evil eye will cause discouragement. Have you ever wanted to look something up on a computer, logged in and all this stuff, and as soon as you log in and the thing comes on, this thing will flash on, it's so wicked, so ungodly, you know, why in the world that show up? You know? I mean, you can't even get on the computer no more without seeing something that's so indecent. I mean, you don't have any intention of looking at it, but you're going to look up something else, but this stuff pops up on you. It pops up on you, you see. And because of that, you say, Lord, you know my heart, I didn't want to see that. And it wasn't for just a few seconds there, you become discouraged because of what you've seen, you know, what you've had to see, so to speak, to get to where you want to get. And Jesus knows this. Slander, evil speaking, pride, foolishness, all these things cause us to be discouraged. I don't like to hear people taking God's name in vain. I don't like foolishness in the world today. I don't like that stuff. And when I'm around it, I get discouraged. Don't you? I get discouraged. So I'm going to stay away from it. The world knows how to discourage God's people. They really do. We need to be wise with this. Jesus told us to keep our minds and hearts clean and to remove all negative influences in our life. He told us that. From our minds, he desires that we have a perfect peace in this world in which we live. That's his desire for us. We know, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We see also in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. See, we need to renew our minds, you see. Jesus does not promise us a perfect life on this earth. Did you realize that? We're not going to have a perfect life, but he does desire us to have a balance in life, and he promises us to carry us through every hard time we face. He's going to go with us through it. He's going to help us. He's going to enable us. Friend, no matter what you're facing right now in your life, Jesus is going to see you through it. Whatever you're facing in your life right now, hardship, physical problems, whatever it is, I want you to know what you have in your life right now that's bothering you has been filtered from God in heaven to you to help you, not to hurt you, but to help you. You say, that's a hard thing to realize. Yes, it's a hard thing to realize, but it is for our good, no matter what we face in our life. It's for our good. We'll talk about that a little later on. So discouragement, everybody is human. Everybody has a capacity of getting discouraged from time to time. Now, the question is, how you handle discouragement when it comes? How you handle it when it comes? In other words, what do you do with it? What do you do with it when discouragement comes? Do you and I allow discouragement to control you? Or do you control the discouragement? That's a big question, isn't it? We have the choice. I'm going to let this discouragement just eat me up, okay? And take me wherever it wants to, or I am, by God's help, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to conquer this discouragement. I'm going to change my thinking. When the devil works on our minds, he does. No matter when I'm thinking wrong, immediate response to me from God is to change your thinking, son. Think on something else. Think on something else. Things that appear and honest and good and all these things. Change your thinking. Quote a Bible verse. Sing a chorus. Sing a song. Do something. But change your thinking whenever you're getting discouraged. You see, discouragement and heartache come into your life to make you and I a better person. We know that sorrow comes into our life to make us a better person. Sorrows come. They do come. Now, it either makes you a better person or it'll make you a bitter person when things come into our lives. And we have the choice. We can make the choice, believe it or not. It's not the devil's choice. It's our choice. What are we going to do with this thing that comes into my life? God has sent it into my life for some reason. Now I've got to figure out why I got it, why it's in my life. And God, what are you doing with this in my life? I know there's a reason. I know there's a purpose. But God, please help me. God, please help me. Again, I reflect back to this 92-year-old lady. What was going on in her mind when she sat down in that car and she looked over and saw this young man with a pistol in his hand saying, "Give me your money, I'm going to kill you." What were you think she was thinking? God, why is this happening to me? You know, why are you allowing this to take place in my life? Well, when you look at the whole picture, you see why. Because God gave her a love in her heart for that young man that young man had never seen before probably in his life. And she was a good witness to that young man to no doubt save her life and probably save his life eventually if he kept on doing what he was doing. You see, there was a purpose for that. And there's a purpose for everything that goes in my life, in your life. God knows. I said a while ago, it's all the circumstances in our life are God filtered. God gives them to us. Just like Job. Remember what happened to Job? Satan comes to Job and says, "Well, about this servant Job, he has all this and he has children, he has all these things, you know, and he's serving you and all this, but you know, it's all because you're blessing him and all this kind of stuff." And we know what happened. God says, "Okay, you can do everything, take everything from him, but his life, you can't take his life." And you know what happened to Job? You see, but God used him. God used him. God wants to use you. God wants to use us as vessels to help people, to help people. May the Lord help us today to realize there are so many people out there today that need help, that need help. There are two kinds of discouragement. Number one, there's personal discouragement. What do you mean by personal discouragement? That's when you are discouraged with your attitude, your actions, or something that you've done or you haven't done. It's a personal discouragement. You can be personally discouraged. Number two, a personnel discouragement. That's when you are discouraged and it comes from those around you. Those around you, circumstances around you. There's two kinds of discouragement that we have to deal with in our life. See, God helps us with this. Now look at the reasons for discouragement. I want you to turn in your Bibles back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Bible examples are no doubt the good, the best examples when we are facing things in our life that we don't know what to do with. The reasons for discouragement, there are many reasons why discouragement comes into the lives of people. In Numbers chapter 21, look at verse number 4. We know that here Israel has victory in verses 1, 2, and 3 and over the Canaanites. In verse number 4, it says, and they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to come past the land of Edom, and the soul of the people were much what? Discouraged. Notice why. Because of the what? Way. Because of the way. Now notice verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth the light bread. Why in the world have you brought us out here in this wilderness to die? You see, they were the hardness of the way caused the people to be discouraged. They were discouraged in the way they were traveling, the way God was leading them, the way God was leading them by God's man. They were discouraged by this because they didn't have what they wanted. They didn't have what they thought they needed in their life. You see, and this is one of the reasons why. They had victory in verses 1 through 3 over the Canaanites. And in verses 4 through 9, we see the failure of Israel and what God did to them. Because of all these things to happen to them. Because of their murmuring, their complaining. You know, because they were discouraged. They were discouraged along the way. Listen, in your walk with the Lord along the way, there's going to be some times you're going to encounter some discouragement in your life. But you and I have to realize this. Number one, if I'm discouraged along my way as a Christian, number one, it's not God's fault. It's not God doing it. God may allow situations to come into my life, but again, it's for my good. It's for my good. God is trying to teach me something. God is trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach us to look to Him and to rely upon Him for all things in life that we need. As the songwriter put it, I can't even walk without the Lord. I can't do nothing without the Lord, and neither can you. Therefore, when we face these things in life that discourage us, we have to realize, by God's help, we're going to make it through it. We're going to make it through it. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior, how long? Forever. The songwriter put, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. I thank God today that we can have victory over discouragement. Listen, discouragements will come. They will come in our lives. But we can have victory. We can have victory because God has promised, again, to be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us. And we must realize, we're not promised a life, a perfect life. We're not promised a life of roses, so to speak, in this world. But praise God, one day we're going to be in that place where there'll be no more heartaches, trials, problems, discouragements, circumstances in life that we don't know what to do with. We're going to be on the winning side with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Brother Kathy, Sister Kathy right now. She's on the winning side. She's in heaven rejoicing today. She fought a long battle with something called cancer. But praise God. No doubt she was discouraged many times. Brother George has been discouraged many times. But now she's encouraged, and he's encouraged too, because he knows now that she's with her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to make it worth it all, folks. Victory is ahead. Keep looking up. Jesus may come today. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear God, that we realize, Lord, that no matter what we do face in life, you promise to be with us. You promise to help us through it. You promise to go with us through it. And God, I pray today, Lord, that your people have been encouraged, Lord, to realize, yes, we all go through things, but you're going to help us. Lord, there's a way out. There's a way out. by your grace and by your help. Lord, I thank you again, Lord, for the examples we have in the Word of God. Lord, how, Lord, you, through your people, even the children of Israel, we are so much like them. Lord, help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that whatever we face, there's victory ahead. One day, this is going to pass, and there's going to be joy, peace, and happiness that we've never known before in this world. God, have your will and way in our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, to realize that life's situations, Lord, sometimes are hard, but yet, Lord, you promise to be with us. Encourage your people today through your word, through testimony of others, through just talking to one another. Bless now the service about to go into. Have your will and way. And everything that's said and done, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.